All right. Welcome to church, everyone. Again, my name is Matt, and I'm just so excited for the message that the Lord has for us today. As the first Sunday of the new year, I was asked to preach, and I was thinking, what can I talk about? And the Lord just like immediately put this before me. And so I think this is going to be a very special message, a very strong message. And that's not because of anything in myself. That's because this is, I think, what the Lord wants you to hear today. And so just as we begin a new year and 2021, right? We're out of 2020. Hallelujah. But welcome to church. And does anyone need a Bible? And this is very important. I know sometimes we think that it's going to be on the screen, so I don't need one. I would like as many people as possible to have a physical copy. So can we get two over here? There we go. Awesome. So that's because we're going to read the text, and then we're going to go back through it line by line, and we're going to circle some things, and like you're going to notice some things that maybe you didn't see before. So that's really important. If you will, go ahead and grab your Bible, power it on, whatever you do, and go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. That's page 353 in the church Bibles, if you're using any of those. I'll give you a second to get there. Today's message, something to desire. Something to desire. I wonder what the reaction of the room would be if I walked in with the promise, the guarantee of financial prosperity. And this is not just like some promise that doesn't ring true. Like I promise it and you're going to get it. What would happen if I walked in and promised fame? And it came to be true. It'd be pretty awesome, right? What if I walked in with the guarantee that as soon as you walk out of this door in the front of this building, that you are going to get all the material possessions that your heart could ever want? It's yours. Or here's a good one. What if I promised and it came true that all by the end of the week, all your enemies would disappear? That'd be pretty great, wouldn't it? If I walked in the room this morning with bags of silver and gold, what would be the reaction? I mean, what if I walked around the room and gave each of you a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold? That'd be pretty awesome, right? You'd be like, I went to church and got some silver and gold today. What if I walked in the room with something worth even more? The scriptures say there is a treasure to be found, and that it is worth more than silver and gold. And better than that, it's yours if you want it. It's out on the table. And if you want it, you can have it, as much of it as you want. You have to pursue it, but when you do, everything in your life will change. Everything will be different because you now have this thing. What is this hidden treasure that I am describing? Wisdom. Wisdom. How many times have you come up on a problem or faced a decision in life and you wished you knew how to move forward? Maybe a decision related to your finances, or there's tension in the workplace, or maybe you have a disagreement in your marriage, or a decision to make for your children. Things related to your faith, or things related to your education, perhaps. Maybe there's a problem or decision to be made relating to your physical health, or your mental health, or your relational health. And while some of those first things I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, the money, the fame, those things, your enemies to disappear, those things might be of a temporary assistance, but wisdom is what is necessary to truly move forward. And neither the world nor the church display a people who are seeking after wisdom. And why is this? Well, I think there's two reasons that we don't pursue wisdom. One, and you could probably come up with a longer list, that's okay, but this is what's in the sermon notes, so that's what we'll use today. One, because foolery is fun. I don't know if foolery is a word, but foolery is fun, at least for a time, right? We laugh at it. We play with it. We watch it on TV. We overlook it when someone around us is being foolish. And the second reason is, as we have kind of already hinted at in the beginning of our sermon, there are other desires to fulfill, right? Who needs wisdom when you could have lots of money? Who needs wisdom when you could have influence and power? Who needs wisdom when you could have another glass of wine? Many of us, the reality is that we think that wisdom will just come to us with our age and experience. So why pursue wisdom when we can just let it come to us naturally? I mean, do I really have to put in a lot of work? What is required for me to have wisdom? Reading a book from Target? Going to a seminar at the local community college, or visiting the old people at the nursing home down the street every week? Believe it or not, it's actually easier than that. Crazy thing. There's this set of books in Scripture that we call the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature. So, many years ago, and this is not a God thing, this is like a man thing, people kind of divided the scripture, the 66 books of the Bible, into different types of literature, right? So that's where we get the Gospels and the epistles, or the letters, you might call them. The Apocrypha, the Apocrypha is the books that we don't use, but that was another part of the Bible that was labeled. You had the apocalyptic literature, which is like Revelation. And then you had the prophets, and then you also had what was called the wisdom literature, and this includes things like Job. This includes Psalms. This includes Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And so, about half of these books in the wisdom literature were written by a guy named Solomon. And if you've been around the church for any amount of time, you've probably heard of Solomon. He was the son of David, who eventually became king, and he was the wisest man and the richest king in biblical history, and in human history. And he writes this book of Proverbs that you might be somewhat familiar with to some degree, the book of Proverbs. And many times we read the Proverbs, and what do we think? We think, wow, that is so true and helpful for my life. This guy's pretty wise. And have you ever wondered, how did Solomon get all this wisdom? Believe it or not, he asked for it. How did Solomon get so much wisdom? How did he gain this wisdom? He asked for it. That was it. So Solomon, after David, is made king, and there's this, it's kind of incredible the way that his kingship begins, and I think it speaks a lot to godly leadership. He takes the people that he leads to the altar to go and pray and worship. That is the beginning of his kingship, and that's pretty awesome. But 2 Chronicles chapter 1, which I'm going to read in just a moment, you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 actually records how this happens. So I'm going to turn there and read that now from 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 7, go through verse 13. My apologies. Here we go. I had a mark. There we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. And God says, in that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great and steadfast love to David my father and have made me king in his place. So, O Lord God, let your word to David my father be now fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge." Everyone say wisdom and knowledge. "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart." What is this? This is wisdom and knowledge. Everyone say wisdom and knowledge. "Because this, wisdom and knowledge, was in your heart, and you have not asked for possessions, you haven't asked for wealth, you didn't ask for honor or the life of those who hate you, and you've not even asked for a long life," the scripture says, "but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge." Everyone say wisdom and knowledge. "You have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also," everyone say also, "I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor, such as none of the kings had who were before you, and none after you shall have the like." And so Solomon came from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. So let me just kind of summarize, give you the Matt Horn paraphrase here. So, God one evening asked Solomon to ask of him what he wants and that God would give it to him. Now, I believe God is a God of his word, and so I believe that if Solomon had asked for any of those other things, God would have granted those things to him. So, Solomon says, "Great is your steadfast love. Thank you for making me king. I want wisdom and knowledge. I want wisdom and knowledge." Solomon could have asked for anything in the world. And yet his desire is for wisdom and knowledge. And so God says, "Because this was in your heart, because this is what you wanted, and you didn't ask for possessions, you didn't ask for honor, you didn't ask for wealth or for your enemies to disappear or for a long life." I mean, who in here would like a long life? Anyone? Yes? Okay. Really? No one? Okay. Yes. I think many of us would love a long life. "Because you didn't ask for those things and instead asked for wisdom and knowledge, that you shall have. That you shall have." Solomon didn't allow good things to get in the way of great things. Because the reality is that possessions and honor and wealth and a long life are not inherently bad things. They can be good things, but they weren't the great thing. And that is what Solomon wanted, was wisdom. And so God says, "Because this is what you've asked for, I'll give you wisdom and knowledge plus all of these other things." So then Solomon acquires the wisdom, the godly wisdom, and with a little help at the end of the book, Solomon pens the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the wisdom book. Toward the beginning of the book, he has a lot to say about pursuing wisdom. So let's look together at Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole text. It's going to be on the screen and everything. And then I want you to have it open before you, because then we're going to go back through the text slowly. Proverbs chapter 2. This is what Solomon says. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Everyone say, for the Lord gives wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. And then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Solomon writes to us in Proverbs 2 concerning the value of wisdom. Look with me back in Proverbs 2 at verses 1 through 4, if you will. Go ahead and take out your Bible and turn there and look with me, verses 1 through 4. I want you to catch something. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. There was this repeated word that you might not have caught. It's not a big word. It's not a depthful word. But I think it has a lot to say for what we're going to say in just a moment. It's only two letters. Ready? If. If. Notice the beginning of verses 1, verse 3, and verse 4. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments. Verse 3, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Verse 4, if you will seek it and search for it. If, circle that word if. If, there are very few things that God does or gives to us in our life that are dependent on us. And God's wisdom, however, is offered to us, but there is a big if. A big if. If you will pursue it, if you will love it, if you will treasure it, if you will seek it, you will find it. And so what am I saying here? I'm saying this. Hear me clearly. Not all believers get wisdom. Let me say that again. Not all believers get wisdom. Only those who ask for it. All believers get love. and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit abiding in you. Not all believers get wisdom. Only those, if, Solomon says, if you will pursue it and love it and treasure it and seek it, if you will search for it as hidden treasure, then you will find it. And what does the scripture say that we will find? Well, it's not just you're going to find wisdom. Look at verse 5 and 6. If you'll seek it, if you'll pursue it, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So if you'll seek wisdom, if you'll treasure my commandments, if you'll search it out like hidden treasure, then what will you find? You'll find the fear of the Lord. You'll find the understanding of the fear of the Lord. Those who seek wisdom understand the fear of the Lord, the source and the standard of all wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10, maybe you've heard this verse before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Someone got it. Yes, the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One, it says, is insight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It is the very foundation of what it means to have wisdom. For wisdom, verse 6 says, comes from the mouth of God. His very own word. Where does wisdom come from? The mouth of God. So don't look to your age. You can be old and not wise. Don't look to your age. Don't look to your experience. Don't look to your career. Don't look to your education. Don't look to your bookshelves. Don't look to your podcast, etc. Fill in the list here. Don't be wise in your own eyes, Paul says, for wisdom comes from God. Now, I'm a podcast guy. I don't know if any of you people are podcast people. I love books, right? I love to read a book. And these different things can give me knowledge. I paid a lot of money for 4 years of college, right? They can give me knowledge, but they cannot give me wisdom. Why? Because wisdom comes from the mouth of God. And you know what I saw a lot this year? I mentioned this verse just a moment ago from Romans chapter 12. Paul says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Many of us were wise. And keep in mind, he's writing to Christians in Romans. He's not writing to unbelievers. Don't be wise in your own eyes or by your own standards. Because you know what happens when you become wise in your own eyes and by your own standards is you often still just keep messing things up. You keep making the wrong decisions. You keep going the wrong directions, right? You're stumbling into places that you shouldn't be in. You're back around that same group of people. You're returning to that same old habit. You know what Solomon says about those kind of people? Proverbs 26:11, he says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Like a dog who returns to his vomit is a fool who returns to his folly. And so then the other choice is Proverbs 2, verse 9. That those who pursue God's wisdom will find themselves on the good path. The good path. And I just want to insert a word. This is not up here. Those who pursue God's wisdom will always, everyone say always, always find themselves on the good path. Verse 7 says that God is their shield. Verse 8 says that God watches their way. Verse 9 says that God teaches them righteousness. Verse 10 says that God delights them with knowledge. Verse 11 says that God guards them with discretion. Verse 12, that He delivers them from evil. And then after that, Solomon goes into this weird kind of like story. It's kind of random about crooked men and adulterous women. Now, don't make that sexist, right? It could be adulterous men and crooked women, right? But he says that those who pursue godly wisdom will not be caught in their path. You know those people who you get around, or that show you watch on Netflix or whatever that is that leads you into temptation, that leads you not in the godly way, but in the way of evil? He describes these perverted men who delight in evil. And these women who have forsaken the companion of their youth, and she speaks with her smooth words. Because often those who tempt us, their words do sound a little smooth, a little soothing. That's the way that the devil works in people, right? But if you'll pursue godly wisdom, you will not be found in their company. And that's the thing, that those who pursue God's wisdom will find themselves on the good path. Always. And you never have to worry ever about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because a lot of times that's our excuse, right? That we were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You don't have to worry about that when you're pursuing God's wisdom. You will never be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, if we are to pursue God's wisdom, then what does that look like in practice? I mean, how does wisdom take form? Well, before we discuss what is wisdom, I think it'd be really good for us to just make clear what is not wisdom. Okay, wisdom is not smart. Wisdom is not that you're smart. Wisdom actually isn't even that you're clever. Wisdom doesn't mean you're witty or have a way with words. Wisdom is not being old. It's not synonymous with being old. Wisdom is not being well informed on random topics under the sun. You can know a lot and not be wise. You can know a tomato is a fruit but not be wise enough to keep it out of fruit salad. I'm really glad you guys got that right on the front end, because in our first service it took them like a good like 2 minutes, and then you started hearing giggling. Anyway, so that is not wisdom, to know a lot. So what is wisdom? Well, James actually just tells us. The Apostle James, and I love James because of that. In his letter, the letter of James, as you may have concluded, he's very straightforward. It's not like a lot of interpretation and looking at the Greek and like discussing amongst your friends. It's like, this is what it is, dude. So what is James, how does he describe wisdom? Well, if you will, you can turn there or just look with me on the screens from James chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. And this is what James says. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, and open to reason. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It is impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So let's look back at this list, verse 17. So he says, but the wisdom from above, and this is because just a couple verses earlier, he talks about demonic wisdom, worldly wisdom, evil wisdom. And so then he makes the contrast and he says, but the wisdom from above, the wisdom of God, the wisdom from the Father in heaven is first pure. Pure. Now, I don't know if they really do this a lot in the church world here in the North, but where I'm from, when we talk about purity, it is synonymous with virginity. And now that's a whole other sermon. We won't get too far in that, but being pure is about waiting till marriage. And listen, I am all about no sex before marriage, right? I think that is a special thing that was given from God, created by God, to be lived out in the sanctity of marriage. That said, virginity is not purity. You can be a virgin and not be pure. What does purity mean? Purity means right motives. Purity means right affections. Purity means right convictions. Purity means right devotion. Purity means to be untouched by the things of the world, but to be held by God. That is what it means to be pure. To be pure. And then first, and then second, peaceable. Peaceable. Able to make peace and willing to make peace. Because I think we saw a lot of that this year too, right? A lot of people who were able to make peace and unwilling. Are you willing to be peaceful? Third, gentle. It's not loud. It's not obnoxious. It's not unruly. It's not annoying or overambitious. It's gentle. Open to reason, or perhaps your scripture says reasonable. It's the same thing. Full of mercy. The scriptures say that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. He desires mercy over judgment, the scriptures say. And good fruits. Now, I can only assume this means the same kind of thing as Galatians 5 talks about. Love, joy, peace, patience, those things. It's impartial. That means you don't see different people at different levels or of different significance or importance. It means that you see all people, no matter their education, no matter their skin color, no matter their what they do for a living, no matter their positions that they've held in the past, no matter the amount of money they have or economic status or any of those things, you see them all in the same way as image bearers of God. That's what it means to be impartial. And then lastly, sincere. What is sincere? Well, let me tell you what isn't sincere. Sincerity is not leaving after 12:15 today and living a hellacious life until next week at 11 o'clock and then coming in and being like, hey, brother, that's not sincere. Do you have a sincere heart, a genuineness? And so, and then of course, lastly, making peace. That's another thing he mentions in verse 18. You know, there's a few people in my life that I've just kind of, we've crossed paths, whether it be a professor at college or a pastor in a church I've been in, or a mentor of mine, or some of you within the church, that just, every time I'm around them, I'm like, this person is incredibly wise. Not they're smart, not they're clever, they're wise. And when you're around them, you can just feel them carrying a weight almost of wisdom. That's a good weight, not a bad weight. And I hate to mention names because some people will feel left out, but there's one in particular. She was here in the 9 o'clock service that many of you know her, Kathy Sudler. What a lady who's had just a tough year. I mean, we all have to some degree, but just a tough year. And she returned to church this morning. It was so good to see her, and we love her so much. And she was blushing, of course. She sits in the back corner and doesn't want to be seen or given attention. But there are few people in my life who I have encountered that display more godly wisdom than Kathy Sudler. I mean, if you want to, especially you young ladies in the room, if you want a lady to look up to who can just teach you, and the Spirit will use them to mold you and shape you, Kathy Sudler, right? And this sermon's not about Kathy Sudler, it's about Jesus. But I want you to hear that. I mean, Kathy Sudler is just an incredibly wise lady. Worldly wisdom is often associated with achievements or positions that you've held. And what we see in this verse, the godly wisdom is all about your character. Your character, not your experiences, not your education, not any of those things, but the display of godly wisdom are these things: to be pure and peaceable and gentle, reasonable and full of mercy and good fruits, and impartial and sincere, sowing peace. That is what it means to bear the weight of godly wisdom. And these are the things that God has us to seek after. And so, how could your life, how could my life, how could our life be different, be changed? How could Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the office be different? How could that tension with your boss be different? How could that disagreement in your marriage be different? That decision for the kids, or that budgeting issue that you've got going on. How could that all be different if we decided to pursue God's wisdom like hidden treasure? If we decided to seek after it and search for it and desire it and love it and treasure it all the days of our life. Here's what James 1:5 says. James 1:5 says that God gives wisdom generously, more than you probably even wanted. He loves to give it to those who ask for it, to those who want it. He will give His wisdom generously. So what's the application? Well, the application is very simple. The application is this: pray for wisdom. Seek God. Get on your face before Him. And seek Him and ask Him and pursue Him to give you His very own wisdom. Second, to read the Proverbs every day. Here's something you might not know. There's 31 Proverbs. Generally speaking, how many days are in a month? 31. It's almost like God knew. Well, God didn't put the chapter numbers, but that's okay. 31 days in a month, 31 Proverbs. So whatever day of the month it is, go and read that chapter. Go and read that list of Proverbs. Make some notes. And do that in the morning so that when you go to work, or when you run into an old friend later, or you know, whatever it is, whenever you're making decisions for that day, you'll remember those Proverbs, that wisdom that God gave you for the day. And then third, ask for God's insight in every decision. When we talk about insight, when we say, God, I want your insight, we're saying, I want to see this decision, I want to see this problem, whatever it is, the way that you see it. Give me your sight. And so that goes back to prayer. And so every day, because I, you know, the scripture only records it once, but I don't know that Solomon just asked for wisdom once and it was his for the rest of his life. I feel like it was a thing that he had to pursue continuously. And so I believe that if you will continuously pursue wisdom, that God gives it to you generously and loves to do it. And that's an incredible thing. beginning your year in 2021. I pray this message will encourage you and comfort you, convict you if you've been looking for wisdom in other places, that it will compel you to seek it like silver, to search for it like hidden treasure. And then you will find and understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And from His mouth comes wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you that, Lord, this is the greatest movement on the earth. Thank you that, Lord, you have blessed us and led us, Lord, into this moment. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would just lead us into the next moment. And Lord, when we get there, would you give us your wisdom? For Lord, we all get the same love and the same joy and all those things. But Lord, wisdom is for those who ask for it. And Lord, your word says that you store it up. You've got a lot of it. A lot of sound wisdom for the upright. Lord, you bless those and lead those who walk in integrity. So Lord, give us wisdom. Give me wisdom. And Lord, may we use that wisdom that you give us, Lord, to bless you and to bless others. Your Spirit is shaping and molding us and changing us, God, renewing us, helping us not to conform to the patterns of this world, but to be renewed, to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. Lord, give us your wisdom. Bless us. Keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.